Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, we have your ticket to 8 amazing golf experiences with the WGR VIP golf cart. For just one low price of $129, unlock a season of golfing adventures, including Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course, Bobolink, and Golf Dojo. Your WGR VIP golf card also hooks you up with a free box of premium Vero X1 golf balls from Encore Golf and score deals at Rixorec Golf Warehouse and Transit in Bowmansville. A portion of the proceeds will benefit PGA Hope. Get all the details and purchase your WGR VIP golf card today at GetMyPerks.com. All right, a lot happening today in the NFL, including the release of Gabe Davis earlier today by the Jacksonville Jaguars. But before that, George Pickens, outstandingly talented wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers, gets traded to the Dallas Cowboys. And joining me on the Wester Hotline right now is the Fan Morning Show host in Pittsburgh, Adam Crowley. He joins us to talk a little bit about this. Adam, thank you very much. I actually watched your show a little bit today, get some reaction, and I said, you know what? We got to have a little bit of this on WGR. How are you today?
I appreciate you watching. I appreciate you having me on. I'm still sweating. You know what it's like getting breaking news. It's thrilling, but I'm all petered out. I got a little left for you, though, Sal.
I saw the reaction. I heard the reaction from some of the callers. But I guess the bigger picture for us here in Buffalo, or a little bit more on the outside, why did it happen? Why did the Steelers get to this point to trade George Pickens?
Yeah, I think the Steelers can get crushed for drafting wide receivers with quote-unquote character concerns. There's been a laundry list of them now. I don't need to bore everyone with the names. What I can say, though, is they've moved on from all of these guys at the appropriate time. Deontay Johnson was on, what, 4 different teams last year after the Steelers traded him to the Panthers. Chase Claypool fizzled out of the league. Same with Martavis Bryant. Antonio Brown was yelling obscenities at the GM in Las Vegas at the time after they moved off of him. So they know when to move off of these guys. But to take emotion out of it, I just think pragmatically, you get a receiver this offseason in DK Metcalf for $150 million over 5 years. You don't have a franchise quarterback right now. You're probably not going to pay 2 wide receivers, and Dallas gave you a good offer for him. I mean, a 3rd and a 5th, that's what you got back for Antonio Brown. This guy isn't as big of a diva or a problem as Antonio Brown. He's also not half the player. So you get a good return. You were never going to pay him anyhow. I think it makes a ton of sense for Pittsburgh.
He isn't, like you said, maybe at that level of Antonio Brown as far as that kind of stuff, but some distractions right along the way that maybe just did it just rub everybody wrong at the end of the day?
Yes, and I say he's not on par with AB concerning the distractions. However, oh my gosh, the distractions. He was late to the Christmas Day game. Mike Tomlin kept running cover for him. He was benched in the Dallas Cowboys game this year. He got in a fight where he was pushing a cornerback out of the end zone on a Hail Mary play at the end of the Cleveland game, the snow game, I'm sure people in Buffalo remember. That's just three right off the top of my head. He's played social media games. He has blamed the referees for games. He has talked down to opponents after the Steelers have lost to opponents like the Browns last year, where he said that's not a good football team. That was just because of the snow. And then he complains an awful lot when he doesn't get the football, which that in and of itself doesn't make him unique at the wide receiver position. But that coupled with everything else and the fact that they'd have to pay him, what, 25 plus million bucks this offseason, it just made sense to move on at this time.
Adam Crawley joining us here on the West Her Hotline. All right, so where does this leave the Steelers? Because if you look at that roster, you saw the tweet. I heard you talking about it from Matt Miller today. Said maybe the worst roster they've had in the Tomlin era. I know that you say that's not necessarily true, but where are they right now with this roster, and how much can that completely change with the quarterback situation if Aaron Rodgers decides to join?
Let's say the Steelers now go out and sign Keenan Allen to a one-year deal, who's a free agent at this point, or Amari Cooper. Well, you've got DK Metcalf, and you've got wide receiver X, let's just call him, one of those two guys or somebody else. I think you're better than you were last year at that position where it was Pickens and then your number two was Van Jefferson, for goodness sakes. So you'd be better there. And then with Rodgers, I don't think he's some great shakes or anything like that, but you're definitely better than you were at the end of the season with Russell Wilson. And, hey, Rodgers might well wind up arguing with Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator, but it just wasn't going to work again with Russell Wilson because that had already happened last year. So I think if you get Rodgers and you get another piece, you're still in a better spot than you were last season. If you get only the wide receiver, you're not, because Mason Rudolph is the starting quarterback. And if you get only Aaron Rodgers, then you're an injury away from, I guess, Robert Woods being your number two wide receiver. So as we talk today, they're in a much worse place than they were at the end of last season. If they make one or two moves, and I do, I guess, think the Rodgers thing's going to happen, I do think they can be better positioned this year.
So you think Aaron Rodgers is going to ultimately sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is there a timeline here? Do they need to know by a certain time?
Oh, there should be a timeline. I'm not sure there is, which a lot of people around here, myself included, have a problem with. I had tweeted out earlier on in the day that them trading Pickens told me that Rodgers had spurned them. I've been told by a couple of people that that is not the case, that Rodgers is still mulling things over, but that their understanding is this doesn't affect him at all, which I don't know that I can buy. I don't know why I'd want to be throwing to Robert Woods, but I guess it doesn't affect him. I would guess he is here. I would think within the next, 18 days before OTAs and minicamp and all that starts up, but that's merely speculation, as I can sort of ascertain one thing based on the available information and then guess with some of the sources stuff that I got.
Your co-host, Doran Dickerson, former Buffalo Bill player, obviously, as well as several other teams in the league, and the Steelers, he speculates maybe they could go out and trade for a receiver. I know DJ Moore was a name that was mentioned. Now you have Gabe Davis also that was just released today. What does it look like maybe the next little while here at wide receiver of them possibly going out and adding not only just a Keenan Allen, as you said, but maybe trading for somebody, maybe a Gabe Davis who's now on the market?
Yeah, I think they should do that. Whether or not they will, I'm not sure. Roman Wilson was their third-round draft pick last year, a national champion at Michigan, but he didn't play the entire year because he was hurt, and then he wasn't picking up the playbook. So they might have a lot more faith in him than I do. I think it would make a lot of sense to get a wide receiver. I think the Steelers are kind of screwing this up a little bit. I think they have a plan. It just might not be a good plan. I think one of their feet is firmly placed in the trench of, we got to try to win now with T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward. And I think their other foot is in a ditch. But it doesn't really matter until next year, because that's when we're going to try to get our quarterback. If they want to win now at all, though, I just don't see how they could go into the season with the wide receiver room like it is. It would be as bad as it was last year. And it was one of the worst wide receiver rooms in the NFL last season.
What is the truth about their interest at all in Shedeur Sanders as everything was going on over the draft a couple weeks ago?
Man, I should have stuck with my guns, Sal. I, the whole time, was thinking it was all misdirection, blowing smoke from Mike Tomlin, who was really waxing poetic about Shedeur Sanders in a way he had never done about any other draft prospect in 17 years in Pittsburgh. And I thought, you know what, they kind of were leading people to believe Malik Willis was their guy in 2022, and then they took Pickett. Maybe he's doing the same thing. But then I kept hearing other stuff, that they really were interested in Shedeur. I have also heard that he showed up to the Steelers facility with the camera crew, and they kindly told him not to bring the camera crew in. And I found that information out after the draft. And just knowing the organization, knowing how Art Rooney II, the owner, operates, I'm guessing that probably wiped him off their board altogether. It's not what I thought necessarily going in, but as I understand it now, I don't think they were very interested in that young man.
All right, the rest of the offseason, what it looks like for the Steelers here, I should say, you know, now where they are here in the offseason. Defensively, you got some guys who are aging a little bit. What's it look on like on that side of the ball, Mike Tomlin defense, and where they are right now?
I think they should be better. They had a corner last year play for him who was as tall as I am, and that's not very tall, 5'8". And he took the ball away from him a little bit. This is Dante Jackson, but he wasn't a fit for their scheme. He was more of a zone guy. They wanted to play man coverage. They've replaced him with Darius Slay. T.J. Watt, still good. I think their inside backers are good. Their safeties are good. They needed help on the defensive front. They think they got that in the draft with Derek Harmon in round one and Y.A. Black later on in the draft, who profiles more as a nose tackle. I think they'll be fine on that side of the ball. And depending on the quarterback situation, I think you're looking at trying to win games 12-10 like they have really since Ben Roethlisberger retired, which they've done a nice job of doing. But it's like banging your head against a wall for 3 hours, 3.5 hours every Sunday trying to watch this team. They'll be fine on defense, though, I think.
Is this T.J. Watt's last year in Pittsburgh, or do they work something out?
Oh, they'll work something out. And I think the town is split on that, too.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to win anything this year. Even with Rodgers, you're not winning the Super Bowl. You're maybe winning a playoff game, which they haven't in more than half a decade. I forgot the question now.
That's okay. T.J. Watt, last year of his deal.
Oh, yeah, he'll be back. And like I said, the town split, but they're not. Right. They want him to be a one-helmet guy, and they want him to finish his career in Pittsburgh. And they're going to make him, in all likelihood, the highest-paid defender in football. We'll see what happens in Dallas with Micah Parsons. They might take it to a place the Steelers can't go. But if they got it done before Dallas does, I think you're going to see that T.J. Watt, for however short a time it is, he's going to be the highest paid defensive player in the sport.
All right, I know you have a meeting you got to go to in 3 minutes, so I'll give you two quick ones on your way out. Have you heard anything about the opponent for the Steelers in Ireland? Because we know that the Bills could be in the mix there, and people are wondering. Have you heard anything about that over there?
I heard it's the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
And that it'll be on September 28th. Now, I had someone I trust the other day tell me it was the Vikings, but I have had a ton of people tell me it's the Packers. Either way, though, for your purposes, I have not heard Buffalo
link
to that game.
And then finally, where are the Penguins now after missing the playoffs, having an aging roster, and their organizational kind of reset, if they even want to call it that?
It's going to be a reset. I think it wouldn't take too terribly much for them to be a playoff team next year. Kyle Dubas, though, the general manager of the Penguins, said in his end-of-season press conference that they're not going to build a team just to squeak into the playoffs. So I think this year they're probably not going to be very good. The following year they might not be very good. This is maybe not a long, long rebuild, but I think it's going to take a couple of years. And I don't think Mike Sullivan wanted to wait around for it. I know the Penguins painted the picture that they made the decision. I was told that Sullivan said, I want to win now. And they said, yeah, all right, you're going to have to take a hike. And that's how that went. So I don't think they're going to be good for at least the next couple of years.
Adam Crowley, you can follow him on Twitter, @_AdamCrowley. 93.7 The Fan, our Odyssey sister station in Pittsburgh. Thanks a lot, buddy, especially on such short notice. I really appreciate it this morning.
No, you're the best, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, you got it. Adam Crowley right there. All right, he's got a meeting he's got to go to, so we appreciate him squeezing us in here for a few minutes on WGR. Adam Crowley on the Steelers. And yeah, you look at their kind of wide receiver room right now, and he's right. You're kind of one injury away from Robert Woods being your number two. We all love Bobby Trees, right? But as your number two wide receiver, not sure you love Bobby Trees, to be quite honest with you. That guy, though, think about Robert Woods' career, right? That's a nice career. I've always said, to me, Khalil Shakir kind of reminds me of Robert Woods when it comes to just his playing style, you know, his size, not the biggest guy in the world, being able to just kind of do a lot of really little things that matter. And if Khalil Shakir can have the kind of career that Robert Woods has had, I think that's pretty darn successful. It's amazing. Robert Woods was actually a second round pick by the Bills in 2013. He was only here 4 years and he left as a free agent. Khalil Shakir was a fourth round pick. And then he winds up signing a contract extension. If the next 4 years go for Robert Woods, I should say five, next 5 years, right? Go for Robert Woods and Khalil Shakir, the way that his second five went for Robert Woods. Let me rephrase that. If Khalil Shakir's next 5 years go the way Robert Woods' 5 years did in L.A., yeah, sign me up. He had a year of 1,200 yards receiving and 1,100 yards receiving. Not as much anymore. Last year in Houston, 20 catches he did have. He was their main punt returner at times, including in that game against the Bills where they wound up beating them, and that was a big return for him. But the reason I bring up Robert Woods is right now he's kind of a main guy on their wide receiver depth chart in Pittsburgh. And I've always said I thought that, you know, Khalil Shakir was kind of a Robert Woods type of player and receiver, reminded me of him a lot here in Buffalo. And I would take that career overall if it's all in Buffalo. I mean, only a couple of years of 1,000 yards, another one of 900. So we'll see what they do, though, in Pittsburgh. Getting connected with our fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Retba says, why do we do this every time an ex-Bill gets released? What he means is, why do we say, should the Bills bring him back? And I understand that sentiment. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes, and a lot of times, I should say, a lot of times, should the Bills bring this guy back? And I agree with you, Rhett. For a lot of it, it's, you know, what are we doing, right? You don't need to do that. I think, though, in a lot of cases like this one with Gabe Davis, it's warranted to ask the question. Because let's remember what you have in Gabe Davis. You have a player here that is still very young in the NFL. He's only played 5 years in the league. Let me get his actual, is he going by Gabriel Gabe? I want to make sure I pull him up here. His actual age, 20. He just turned 26 last month, Gabe Davis, actually on April Fool's Day, April 1st. So he's only 26 years old. He's only been in the league 5 years. He had some great moments in Buffalo. He is a Bills draft pick of this current regime in the fourth round. They developed him. They drafted him. They developed him. When he left, it was not on bad terms. He apparently has a very good relationship with the starting quarterback, who is the league MVP now. He still comes back to Buffalo once in a while, has relationships here. I know he had a house here. I don't know if he still does. He lived here. He was just here recently, right? But you want to know why we do this? This particular player is a reason why. He won the Bills offseason workout program, like workout player. I don't know, it's the Iron Man. I can't remember the name of the darn award, but he won it 2 years in a row. Like, as the hardest worker in the offseason. These things matter. You can say they shouldn't matter because he dropped too many passes, and I'm perfectly fine with that opinion, but I'm presenting it to you from, if you want to talk about why it could be possible, if you want to talk about why we talk about it, why we ask the question, these are the reasons. And, oh, by the way, you could make an argument you could still improve at wide receiver overall on your depth chart. For all the talk we've had about wide receiver here, I think the depth chart is pretty solid from top to bottom, meaning like 1 through 5, right? 1 through 5 or 6. But you can always add competition. They might not have that true number one we've talked about, but they do have guys who can play. Now, if you're talking about right now, think about it this way for a second. The Bills' number 5 wide receiver is who? It's either Curtis Samuel or Elijah Moore, right? I mean, I think everybody would say that. It's either Curtis Samuel or Elijah Moore. I know it's going to sound crazy to some people. It's not hype. It's true.
go around the league and tell me a number five receiver on a depth chart who's been as productive as one of those guys in this league. There probably aren't many teams who have him. Right? Elijah Moore caught over 60 passes last year. He had 500 yards receiving. Like, a number five receiver is what he's going to be. Now, granted, the Bills' number two receiver didn't have those kind of numbers, but we know Keon Coleman, to me, he is a number two. I mean, he's really kind of a 1A, 1B, because he's going to be the outside X receiver starting. Joshua Palmer is in the top three. I think it's clear right now. Shakir, Coleman, Palmer, they're your top three. You can kind of label them however you want. It's not like that, really, on an NFL roster, how you move these guys around. They play different positions and, you know, that everybody eats, all that kind of stuff. But if we were to just kind of put the depth chart down, you don't even have to say Shakir's one, Coleman's two, Palmer's three. You could just say those are your top three guys. And then you have Palmer and Moore. Samuel and Moore. Then you have a gap with Samuel and Moore. And again, that's pretty good for 4 and 5. Are these all pros? No. But that's a good depth chart at wide receiver. You want to make the argument that you don't need Gabe Davis. Totally fair. And you tried that. There were some, great moments, also some tough moments. No doubt. But if you also want to make the argument that he could help and elevate the competition and fill in some gaps, and who knows what happens in training camp, there's always injuries, all those kinds of things, I think there's certainly an argument for it. 803-0550 is the number to call. What do you think? Should the Bills want to be interested in bringing back Gabe Davis? We also have the Sabres news that has dropped this morning. The Sabres have officially announced they have hired Eric Staal as a member of their organization. Eric Staal comes to Buffalo as the new special assistant to the general manager. That would be Kevin Adams. Now, the Sabres, as Paul Hamilton brought up with me last week, earlier this week, whatever it was, said that was Monday we talked. He's right. If Kevin Adams is coming back as general manager, they're not necessarily going to come out and make an announcement he's coming back. You just kind of keep going, right? That's what you do. You just keep going. That's the guy's job. If there's a change, we'll let you know. If there's no change, why do we need to let you know? It's the way most places operate. There was a report by Elliot Friedman in 32 Thoughts today that said Kevin Adams is going to be retained as general manager. This is on the heels of Andrew Peters and Craig Revay on their podcast saying the same thing. So, A, I think there's a lot of that out there that you know that that's going to happen, right? But I think the sealer for me to tell me that Kevin Adams is staying on as general manager is the fact that they just hired Eric Staal as special assistant to the general manager. I mean, you could conceivably, of course, hire a guy for this position and then fire the person or change him out for someone new. But doesn't it kind of feel like if you're going to make this move and bring in Eric Staal, it's because he's going to work with Kevin Adams, who he knows from their days in Carolina together? Like, doesn't that track and feel right? I mean, they know each other. They're friends, I would think, right? This is why this happens. So I don't think Eric Staal is getting hired. I don't think Eric Staal is getting hired to work with a different general manager than Kevin Adams. It's got to be Kevin Adams. It just makes the most sense. Okay, so you have that. On top of that, in addition to that, what Elliot Friedman reported is the Sabres are looking to hire, apparently, a senior advisor to work alongside and with Kevin Adams. This person would apparently still report to Kevin Adams, who still would report to Terry Pegula. The one thing that people have really said the Sabres need for years now, they've never actually gone out and did or done or had in this ownership, under this ownership, is a president of hockey operations. Now, wasn't that, I could be wrong here because I have to go back and, wasn't that Pat LaFontaine just for, wasn't that his actual title? President of hockey ops, right? Am I wrong there?
No, you're right.
Okay. So they did do it very, very briefly.
That was the last time though.
Here it is. Yep. On November 13th, 2013, LaFontaine was announced as the new president of hockey operations for the Buffalo Sabres. On March 1st of 14, he resigned. 3 months. And he went back to work for the NHL. So, I think it's the only time, I guess, unless I'm missing someone before that, that the Pegulas have hired a president of hockey operations. And then that lasted 3 months. It's been a structure that they have just not wanted. And we asked, I think when Pete Guelly was hired, the COO of the Sabres and Bills last year, he was specifically asked this question, like, would you consider that? And he said, this is the structure that we like, the structure that Terry's had. This is the structure we're comfortable with. Whatever, however he answered that, basically saying that. So I wouldn't expect on the heels of this report from Elliot Friedman, that the Sabres are going to hire a senior advisor to Kevin Adams. I would not expect anything in the line of a president of hockey operations. So a lot happening here today. Bills rookie minicamp on Friday. Rookies will show up. We'll get a look at them. We'll get to talk to them. I'll be down at the stadium. You'll get Zach and Derek and Josh here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on Friday. I'll join them from One Bills Drive. In the meantime, Mother's Day is coming up on Sunday. Get her the ultimate pass to relaxation, renewal, and pure self-care bliss with our Odyssey Self-Care Passport. Enjoy 13 incredible experiences at select spas, gyms, and wellness centers valued at over $1,400, over 70% savings at $375. Visit GetMyPerks.com to get yours while supplies last. We'll take a timeout. Next Wednesday is a big day. Schedule release. I have not really talked about the schedule that much here. Mike's talked about it. I've talked about it with Mike. Did the podcast. It's always game day in Buffalo with Mike North. But I haven't really talked about the schedule. I want to talk about the schedule when we come back. So I just asked Adam Crowley, has he heard anything about the Ireland game, the Steelers hosting? He's like, I haven't heard the Bills at all. I keep hearing Packers. I agree. That's what I've heard. But I also have heard that the Steelers will protect that game and not allow it to go there, which was something I had never heard a team could do, but apparently they can. So we'll get a little schedule talk in here, but of course, your phone calls, always welcome. 803-0550. Would you want the Bills to bring back Gabe Davis? What do you think about the Sabres retaining Kevin Adams, hiring Eric Staal, and looking for a senior advisor to Kevin Adams? Also, the George Pickens trade, if you want to help hop in on that. It's all on the table here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host.
Investigator Slater.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Next Wednesday is the NFL schedule release. It's here. It's finally here. Not really, not yet, but almost, right? We are 1 week away from tonight. The NFL schedule will be released. I still think it could be, judging by my conversation with Matt Bove and Mike North, Matt Bove and I having Mike North on our podcast, it's always game day in Buffalo. Judging by that, it doesn't have to be finalized yet. It might not be finalized until that day, until they release it. So they give it out, like the night before, maybe. And I would tell you, if Aaron Rodgers suddenly says, I'm not playing at all for the Steelers, that could impact it. Or if he says, yep, I'm definitely going, that could impact it. I can't kind of think they have to account for both scenarios in a bit of a way here. So Warren Sharp, really good follow on Twitter, by the way, if you go to Warren Sharp. He has just a lot of really cool analytics stuff, does a lot of schedule. He's betting things and, you know, however you want to look at it. He just does a lot of really cool stuff. And he wrote last week, he had top five hardest and top five easiest schedules in the NFL. And what he did was he went by, I believe is how he did it, was according to this year's Vegas win total. So what teams have, what's the strength of schedule based on this year's Vegas win total projections for their opponents, right? And as much as we talk about the Bills having some really heavy hitters coming to Buffalo this year, the Super Bowl champion Eagles, the AFC champion Chiefs, the Baltimore Ravens, the Cincinnati Bengals, all four of them, the Buccaneers who made the playoffs last year. I mean, one, two, three, four, four teams have made the playoffs. Bengals didn't, but they're always obviously very good and talented. I mean, you're talking about some heavy hitters coming to Buffalo. We talk a lot about that, but the truth is the Bills' schedule, according to the Vegas projected win total of opponents, is actually the fifth easiest in the league, according to Warren Sharp. 49ers is the easiest. And I've seen that too. If you look at the 49ers schedule, like, this is a very, very big bounce back betting candidate if you want to go and do something like that. Patriots number two, Saints number three, Falcons number four, Bills number five. It is also not a coincidence, though, that of the top five easiest, of the easiest schedules, according to this particular metric, Patriots, Bills, Dolphins, Jets all fall in the top half. And in fact, the Patriots have the second easiest, Bills the fifth easiest, Dolphins the ninth easiest. You know why? Because they play each other. Because the Bills, especially, play all of these teams in the AFC East who just don't have very good win total projections. So, getting back to what I was just saying about how much we think about Ravens, Chiefs, Bengals, Eagles, and even Bucks, those are all the home games here that are heavy hitters. You also get two games against the Dolphins, two games against the Patriots, two games against the Jets, six games against teams that aren't, quite frankly, supposed to be all that good. I guess it could be, you know, 500, Dolphins fighting for playoffs. I think the Patriots would be a little bit better, but that outweighs all that other stuff. Then you add in, folks, we just talked about the Steelers. I mean, there's talk the Steelers could have the, Matt Miller said today, the worst roster they've had in the Mike Tomlin era. Whether you agree with that or not, they're not looked at to be a super good, talented roster and maybe a fringe playoff team, right? That's the Steelers on the road. The Falcons on the road, who did some nice things last year, and I love their talent. I think they could actually, maybe a year off, I don't know. I think the Falcons could be pretty good. I'm not sure, but I'm really not sure. The Bills go to the Panthers this year. My buddy Jeremy Kelly, who joined me earlier, having his youth football camp, works for the Panthers, and he's right. They made some strides. They're doing some nice things down there. They're still not there, right? The Panthers on who they are. Bills going to the Browns next year. What are the Cleveland Browns? I mean, this is a team that could really be in for a let's take the year off and get our quarterback next year, right? And then the Texans, who did beat the Bills last year, you have to respect that. They got to the playoffs. They almost beat the Chiefs in the divisional round before the AFC Championship game. But I think that the word, the book on the Texans is, how good really are they? Their offensive line, receivers, you know, they have some interest, they have some decisions they've had to make. They have some injuries. Stephon Diggs is gone. Tank Dell, the injury. So they made some moves there. So, yeah, I'll respect them for sure. But I think when you look at the away schedule, Steelers, Browns, Panthers, Falcons, Texans, like, these are winnable games for the Bills. And I know they lost to the Texans last year. I get it. Still winnable games. Dolphins, Patriots, Jets, we know are winnable games. I mean, every game is winnable, but I mean, like, I don't think enough's been looked at as far as those games. Just when we look at the schedule and the home teams, they're going to play here, the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Bengals, the Bucks, then you have the Saints, and of course, Dolphins, Patriots, Jets. Let's look at the quarterbacks the Bills are going to face. We know Lamar. Justin Fields, Drake May, respect for him. Young quarterback, looks good. Tua, who they've beaten a lot. Joe Burrow, yes. What's going on in New Orleans? Who are they facing there? Tampa, Baker Mayfield, yep. And of course you have Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts. Let's go the other way. Let's go to the road games. Steelers. Is it going to be Aaron Rodgers? I'm not really sure. Maybe. Atlanta Falcons. Penix had some nice moments his rookie year. He's going into his second year, doesn't have a lot of experience. Bryce Young, who came back and did some nice things as well last year for the Panthers, but again, it's Bryce Young, right? Not a guy that really is on any sort of, you know, level or even trajectory you think he could get it to a, oh my God, you got to take this guy seriously, he can carry a franchise type of player, right? Cleveland Browns, who's their starting quarterback? We don't even know. They have five of them right now on their roster. And then you have C.J. Stroud, who I just think is, he's a fantastic talent. Did great a couple of years ago. Like, oh my God. And then just didn't go so well last year. And again, you have May, and you have Tua, and you have Justin Fields. Josh Allen's always going to be the best quarterback on the field, unless you want to say that Patrick Mahomes is better. That's fine. He'll be the best quarterback on the field for at least 16 of their 17 games. You want to say Lamar, that's, I'll respect that, but Josh is the MVP last year. And I think that this is the type of team that the Bills, having the type of team, you know what? I was listening to Mike Schoep the other day say, like, if the Bills did hit on this draft, if they got the defensive talent they really believe they can get, it could be like an all-time great Bills team. And I think that's right. Look at the roster, right? Because look at Josh. And we could talk about wide receiver all we want. We know he elevated those guys last year. And you could make a definite argument that now the wide receiver room from top to bottom is better than last year. I am still expecting the Bills to get at least two of those games at home, those home games in prime time. Ravens, Bengals, Chiefs, Eagles, I think at least two of those. But who knows? Maybe you'll just get a bunch of 425s, and somewhere along the way you'll get a weird Buccaneers primetime game or a Saints primetime game. A Jets, Patriots, or Dolphins is always possible because it's division. And then on the road, generally you're going to get the Bills also on the road at least in one primetime game. Now, they do only have eight road games this year compared to 9 home games. So chances, right, for more at home. And then we have the, are they going to Ireland? I still think it's possible. More unlikely, but possible. And you also have the, are they playing on a holiday? I think it's very likely they play on one of the holidays, meaning Thanksgiving, probably less likely because there's only one chance there. You're not playing Detroit this year. You're not playing Dallas this year. So you know it's neither of those two games, but there is one night Thanksgiving game it could be. You have a Black Friday game. Could be that. And then you have Christmas. There's 3 games, and we don't know any of the opponents on Christmas. Although the Chiefs did say they want to play on Christmas every year, we don't know how that's going to go. We don't know where the league's going to kind of start taking that. So just in numbers alone, you have the Bills having a chance, 6 teams playing on Christmas, 1 in 6 chance there, versus 2 teams playing on, I guess what, 6 out of 32, I should say. But 6 teams playing on Christmas, 2 teams playing on Black Friday, and only 2 openings the Bills could possibly get for the teams playing on Thanksgiving. And there's been some internet rumors about the Bills hosting on Christmas night to wrap up the final year of Highmark Stadium in the regular season. I can believe it. I think that could be very possible. I especially think because of the Hallmark movie that's coming to Buffalo, it's being filmed. Last year, they did that with the Kansas City Chiefs. They were in the Hallmark movie. They played on Christmas. It just fit. They played the year before on Christmas too, by the way. I wouldn't rule out, what team would that be? Like, to me, if you're gonna put the Bills on at home on Christmas night, it's gotta be, how do I say this? It doesn't have to be like another marquee name or team or quarterback. It just doesn't. It's the Bills. They're the team carrying this. But for promotional purposes, aesthetic purposes. Like, of course, the league would love that. I think you could get a Ravens. You could get a Chiefs. But it's so late in the year. Would the NFL do that and say, nah, they're going to play each other anyway in a couple weeks. We don't want to do that on Christmas night. I think it's more likely an NFC team like the Eagles. Imagine Eagles at Bills on Christmas night. I think it's possible. Dolphins, though. Rivalry. Patriots. Rivalry. Jets, not so much. Yeah, division rivalry, but I don't see them as much, but could be. The thing I don't want, there's one thing I don't want with the schedule, to be honest with you, from a professional standpoint, okay? And personal, I guess, both these, personal and professional. Love my job, love what I do, love going on the road, covering the games, calling the games, being a part of it. It's great. But if the Bills play on the road on Christmas, that means I'm gone Christmas Eve and Christmas morning, right? I don't want that. If I got to do it, I got to do it. Part of the job. But it's just something that, if you're going to play on Christmas, do it at home, not on the road. Please, Mike North, NFL schedule makers. So we'll find out. Maybe before that, even some of these games, right? Remember a couple years ago? I remember just one day being at the gym and all of a sudden I look, bam, Bills are playing at home on Monday night 1 week against the week two against the Titans that year when it came out. Like they started leaking those things that week. And I bet you this year they do the same thing where what they're going to do is they'll have someone, they'll have like the NBC morning show and the ABC morning show and the CBS morning show. They'll talk NFL and go, oh, we got a big announcement. Coming week six, coming Christmas, whatever it is, we're going to have this matchup. That's how they do a lot of these reveals now. Wouldn't be surprised if that happens next week. 803-0550. The number to call here on WGR. I cannot wait for this weather to start getting warmer. It's going to be a little cooler tomorrow, and then, but we're going to stay dry. And if you're looking at next week, yeah, baby. 70s, near 80 a couple days, maybe. Love it. And if you want to get out on the golf course, you can do it on May 19th for a great cause. Join us at Par for a Purpose. Play in a foursome at Double Black Diamond Golf Course. A majority of the proceeds are going to benefit the 11-day power play. Registration includes lunch, dinner, two drink tickets, greens fees, cart and prizes. Okay? This is courtesy of Elkville Chamber and Commerce, Chamber of Commerce and Labatt. It's the Double Black Diamond Golf Course down in Ellicottville. And if you want to be a part of it, you want to hang out with me and Jeremy and Nate and Joe, because we're going to be in a foursome. We're going to be hanging out playing golf that day. All you got to do is go to WGR550/events.com to register. We'll take a timeout. We'll wrap up your Wednesday here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Speaking of NFL schedule, there's a pretty cool Twitter feed that I follow that I've interacted with on the schedule, and it's perfectly named, Nerding on NFL. I love it, Nerding on NFL. And they just tweeted something out, said, here is every non-divisional matchup with an active streak of meeting in four or more consecutive regular seasons. And the Bills and Chiefs are tied for the most. The Bills and Chiefs have met 6 years in a row in the regular season alone. I think you all know this just from kind of following and seeing, right? 2020 was at Buffalo, and then at Kansas City in 21, 22, 23, at Buffalo in 24, and again this year in 25. The other series that has been tied is the Broncos and the Jets, because they've finished in the same spot in the standings so often. They've played since 2020 as well. Bills have any others on this list? Nope, that's it. Bills don't have any other that are at least four in a row. All right, so a lot going on today. We had the news of the George Pickens trade that came over. George Pickens goes from the Steelers to the Cowboys. Couple draft picks swapped in there. Dallas gets a third rounder. That's the most notable. They're going to have the draft next year in Pittsburgh, so they'll have lots of draft capital on top of that, by the way. Then we had the release of Gabe Davis from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Talked about that today and getting your thoughts on if the Bills should be interested in revisiting that. Then you had the Sabres news. Eric Staal is hired as a special assistant to the GM. plus reports from Elliott Friedman that the team is going to add a senior advisor or looking to with Kevin Adams. And now we have a report that Seth Appert might have more of a hand in hockey operations and scouting. So a lot going on today here to talk about on WGR. Sabres Live will have more. One Bills Live after that. Schopen the Bulldog at 3 o'clock here today on WGR. I'll join them at 4. Have a great rest of your Wednesday.